Okay. In your bulletin, it says that we're doing Malachi from religion to relationship. And that was the original intent. That's what I prepared for this week. And God had other ideas. That's all I can say. So Malachi, he's waited 2,500 years for me to preach in this church, so he can wait another week on that. But Michelle Mays, who is out in Oklahoma, you know, visiting her folks, she messaged me this week and said, you know, there's a lot of pastors writing something about all this stuff going on and all that. Do you think you might want to do that? And so I thought about it and I wrote, hopefully most of you saw, I wrote it and sent it to her, and then she put it on the Facebook page or something. And then I modified it slightly for our prayer chain. And, you know, what, I don't know, I put this title on there because I got up at 6 this morning and redid the whole message. And I don't know if that's really the title. I mean, the title comes out of a particular verse that we're going to look at today. But I don't know, maybe, you know, is your faith in God would be a good title. Where's your faith? Are you living your faith? We know in the Word of God, when you read the end of the book, things are going to happen. This, what's happening now is nothing. Okay? I mean, it's nothing compared to, and I mean, when it really gets down to it, okay? So this is like a little, to me, it's like God has given us a moment to kind of consider ourselves, where we're at, where our faith is, and what that's going to look like. I mean, I saw on social media, you know, and I think it was in Virginia or somewhere. I mean, you know, these women were in Costco, and one was yelling at the other one, "Don't let your cart touch my cart," you know. And then there was a couple of guys in Georgia, apparently, that just were rolling in the aisle. You know, I mean, they were having at it. They got arrested and, you know, and all that. And then, you know, my wife and I, we went out yesterday morning. It was 7, I believe, in the morning at Stater's, and it looked like 3 in the afternoon on a Saturday. I mean, you know, it looked like payday at Walmart, you know. I mean, it was crazy. And there was this line, you know, going, and this one lady looks at us as we went by, and she goes, "Yeah, I've been sitting in this line for an hour," you know. And I'm like, you know, panic and fear. And that's not of God. Now, wisdom is of God, and we need not be foolish, but panic and fear is not of God. And on March 13th, you know, President Trump announced he was declaring a national emergency, you know, due to the spread of the coronavirus. And I'm thinking, where was the national emergency at the beginning of the year when 12,000 people died from the flu?
Amen.
I mean, let's keep things in perspective. And nobody was fist pumping or shutting down schools when 12,000 people have died since January 1st of the flu. Okay, now I'm not making light of those that have contracted this latest thing, okay, virus, and they have lost loved ones. I'm not making light of that at all. But, you know, we got to be careful that we don't overreact and panic. And we need to ask ourselves, where's our faith? Is our faith in the government? You know, is our faith in medical science that's going to come up with some miracle thing? Or is our faith in the Lord?
Amen.
And, you know, and that's what it's got to be. And originally I just thought maybe the you know, sending a letter out on the prayer chain. But then God woke me up this morning and said, no, you're gonna say more than just a letter. And so today is just about hopefully encouragement, hopefully about us looking at ourselves and examining where is our faith really at? What are we really placing our faith in? Or who? It ought to be who for the Christian, not what. But just also to remember that, you know, when things get really bad, how we respond speaks to the world. You know, if we're just as panicked as the world, then what light are we to them if we look just like them? And so, you know, our numbers are down today, and there was people that were saying, you know, all the churches are closing and, you know, or not, whatever. And you know what? Common sense has to, you know, if we got the bubonic plague, you know, and a third of Europe is dying, I'm probably not going to church. But we're nowhere near that, okay? That's not even on the horizon. So we just really need to look at some things. I wrote on here, we should all take reasonable and appropriate precautions, okay? And that's true with anything, right? I mean, you're going to go drive your car, you ought to take reasonable and appropriate precautions. Are your brakes good? You know? Got enough sleep, you know, you're not getting ready to fall asleep, right, at the wheel. You know, those kind of things, those are reasonable and appropriate precautions, but which one of us doesn't get in our car and go somewhere because we read that there were 160,000 people killed in traffic accidents last year? We still go out there, don't we? You know, and so it's just, we've got to be... got to have wisdom. Got to have common sense. Now, obviously, you know, and regardless of coronavirus or whatever, if I'm sick and I think I can pass it on to you, I don't come. Not because I'm afraid of whatever. I just don't want to give someone what I got. And, you know, we're all pretty good about that. You know, I mean, sometimes we get sick or whatever. People just say, you know what, I'm probably well enough that I could go. But you know what, I don't want to give it to somebody. And I'll wait until I'm on the upswing, you know, and I'm past that part, you know. And then you come back. And we do that no matter what it is. And so, again, appropriate and reasonable is something. But... the scriptures remind us that our faith is in the Lord, or at least it ought to be. At least it ought to be. So I've got some scriptures. Some of it is what was in the email. Some of it is not, okay, because I worked on this this morning. But, you know, I lift my eyes up toward the hills. Where will my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. You know, so many people, their eyes go to Washington. You know, they do. What's the government going to do? What are they, you know, where's the vaccines, or where, you know, we need to pump money into this or that. And, you know, and maybe they should do some things, but is that where your confidence is? Is that the first place you look? You know, part of us being Christians is, where's our faith? Where is it located? And are we living it? Are we living like we have faith? It's very important. It's easy to have faith when everything's going good. You know, when you're healthy and there's a little bit of money in the bank, there's food in the pantry and cars are all running good and kids are behaving and, you know, all that stuff. It's really easy to have faith. But when your faith is tested, how much faith do you have then? There's a verse, it's not on here, just popped in my head. It says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. It's in Proverbs. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. You know, there's always going to be adversity. How do you stand? Or do you faint? Do you just crawl into a little corner and wait for it to pass? Or do you stand? You know, that's how we measure. You know, it's funny, people will say sometimes, they'll say, well, God's just finding out, you know, where I'm at. No, God knows where you're at, okay? You don't know where you're at. You know, I'm just going through this because God's just seeing where, you know, how much faith I have. No, God knows how much faith you have. You need to know how much faith you have. And how do you find that out? Something happens. Do you turn toward God or do you turn toward, you know, whatever? That's what reveals your faith. And then when you realize how you're thinking, then you're like, wow, I need to maybe ponder a few things. Because God, adversity is what reveals whatever. You know, it's kind of like, I remember, I was a very angry person for a lot of years, and my wife still says I get angry too much, but it's nothing like it used to be. But I remember just trying to, you know, I'd say, okay, I'm going to really work on my anger. And ever since, you know, that, having gone through that process, you know, anger management is just a joke. If you don't get to the root of what's causing your anger, you're always going to be angry. You know, but I remember I could, in my will, I could will myself to not be angry until I just blew up. I could will myself calm for a while, but then enough things happen, and then it revealed. You know, it's like if no one, you know, it's like, well, somebody does something, it makes you angry, so people don't do it. That doesn't mean you've got it under control. It just means no one's antagonizing you. Okay? So we've got to come to grips with, you know, the fact that adversity reveals our issues. You know, when I was not angry, the issue was still there, just nobody was provoking me or pushing my buttons. But when someone did, I get angry. Well, guess what? I haven't changed. Adversity reveals where we're at in a lot of areas, and faith is an area that adversity reveals where our faith is, how much faith we have. Adversity reveals it. And so, you know, the psalmist, you know, he writes, I lift my eyes up toward the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. And then he kind of throws in, the creator of everything. He is all powerful. I'm putting my faith in him because there's no one else is all powerful. No one else created everything. No one else knows what's going on in the future. I'm going to put my faith in the one that knows the future. The one that is sovereign. Another verse. God is our refuge and strength. Is God your refuge? What's a refuge? You know, when it's raining really hard, you run under a tent or something, or a covering of some sort. That's your refuge. It's something that protects you. Is God your refuge? Or again, is it the government? Is it, you know, the latest thing? Whatever it might be, God is our refuge and strength. A very present help in times of trouble. You know, people are turning to Washington and they're saying, well, in a few weeks, you know, we're hoping to have some sort of a vaccine or some sort of, you know, we're putting all this money into it. But, you know, God is a help right now. You know, we look to things and we're like, well, in the future, well, God is a very present help in times of trouble. Therefore, because of that, we will not fear. We will not fear. Man, there's people out here running scared. You know, and unfortunately, many Christians are running scared. Now, we need to be respectful of the situation, and again, wisdom and appropriateness, but I am not afraid. Okay? I am not afraid. And it's not because I'm all that. It's because my faith is rooted in the one that does control all those things. And he can allow me to get sick. It doesn't have to be this virus. I can get sick any time of anything. You know, it's not limited to one thing. It says, therefore, because of that, we will not fear. Even though the earth trembles and the mountains topple to the depths of the sea. Man, if this earth just started shaking, most of us, if not all of us, we've been through a couple of those shakers, right? More than one, right? Living out here. You know, people in Florida don't get it, but you guys do. Just think if it just kept shaking. I remember one of those ones, I don't know if it was the last one, the Ridgecrest one or whatever, but there was one of them, it lasted like 25 seconds or so. You know, and that's a long time, man. I mean, most of them, they just kind of hit, shake, and then it's kind of like, wow, you know, and it's done. But that thing just kept going. Now, just think if it just kept going. Minutes. He says, we're not going to fear, even if the earth trembles, and mountains start, you know, these mountains up in Wrightwood just start falling over, man. Yet we will not fear. Because we serve the God that controls all that. We serve the God that created all that. He is our refuge. He is our strength. He is our help. Look at this. Be still and know that I am God. You know, knowing that the Lord is fully aware of what's going on ought to be a source of comfort and peace. Ought to be. The Bible tells us to be calm in the midst of the storm. Be still and know that I am God. People are out there panicking and, you know, running all around. And you know what? Yeah, there is a time for action. There is a time we need to do stuff. Okay? But be still. And know that He's God. He's not unaware. His arm is not short. It's not weak. He's able. He knows exactly where you're at. He knows what circumstances you're living under. He's aware. Do you believe He loves you? Is He going to love you but abandon you? No. He's there. Sometimes we get all caught up in the moment. And when we do, we get so busy within our own minds that we kind of forget that God's there. The Bible says, be still. Just sit down. Take a deep breath. Know that God is well in control. He's able. He is God. He is God. Timothy, Paul wrote, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. Okay? But one of power, love, and a sound mind. I mean, some of these people out there, they don't have a sound mind. You know? They're panicking. Now, that doesn't mean we go out and do something stupid, but you know what? We need to be calm. We need to make a measured response to things, not go off the deep end. Have a sound mind. You know, not given to rumor and innuendo and the latest whatever news to come out of wherever, and then you find out that wasn't it. I mean, there's been so much misinformation going out. And I'm going to stick with the guy that knows. That would be the Lord. He knows. You know, it's not false coming from Him. And boy, you think the media just kept talking about this and it's just worked everyone up. You know, it's worked everyone up into a frenzy over this. And this is, and like I say, this is a very minor, I mean, you know, read the word. It's going to get bad at one point, at some point, things are going to happen. What are the media going to say then? You know, I mean this. I mean, come on. As the last time I checked, 41 people have passed away due to this virus. 40 in the nation. A nation of 330 million. And we're calling a national emergency? And again, I am not making light of families that have been affected by this. But at the same time, isn't that not a bit of overreaction? A national emergency, and yet, like I said, 12,000 people died from the flu since January, and we got nothing being said about that? Do you think maybe there's another agenda going on? You know what I mean? So, again, we have a sound mind. We are able to look through these things and respond in a right way. And again, I'm not saying, listen, wash your hands. But you ought to do that every day anyway. Right? I mean, you know, they're up there, wash your hands. You know, and the hand sanitizer, what, somebody said it was like $100 or something on eBay or something for some... Wash your hands. Get your hands just as clean with soap and water as the hand sanitizer. In fact, I saw one study where the hand sanitizer had like more germs on it than your hands did. Seriously. There was a brand out there. It was messed up. It was like full of germs. I mean, it's just crazy. Just common sense, folks. Soap and water works. And you don't got to pay $100 for a little thing of it on eBay. You know, you probably got soap right there under your sink. So, again, we don't have the spirit of fear. Now, we could have it if we let Satan put it in there. Satan can put thoughts in your head, folks. God does not give us that spirit. But Satan can put the thought in there, and then we start, and then he's like, all right. There's that Christian. He's focusing on all this stuff. I've got his mind off of God. I got his mind off of truth. I got his mind off of sound judgment. During times, so what should we do then? Well, in a word, pray. Okay? Why do we always pray last? Try all this stuff, do all this, and when none of that works, well, I guess I better pray about it. Hello. Think you got your priorities rearranged, or they need to be rearranged. It says, don't worry about anything. Hello. You know, you can cross out anything and put a line there, and then you can fill in the blank. Don't worry about coronavirus. Don't worry about, you fill in the blank. Whatever it is that's trying to give you worry and fear, Bible says don't worry about anything. But in everything, you know, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything, folks. Through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Let your request be made known to God. And then what happens when you do that? The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Heart, another word for emotions. It will guard your emotions and your thinking process in Christ Jesus. And the peace passes all understanding. Listen, when you're worried, and I bet you every single person in here has worried at one time or another, right? Anybody here never worried in their life? Oh, there's Dan. Yeah. Should have known Dan never worried. Well, Dan, you can rest the rest of the sermon, okay? Because, you know, you don't need this. But, but you know, but when you worry, are you at peace? It's the opposite, right? When you're worried, you lay in bed and you can't go to sleep. You're thinking, boy, if this doesn't happen, then that's going to happen. And you're pondering all those possibilities, those scenarios, all those things. Well, if I get it, then this will get it and that'll do it and this will be this way. And we go through all this stuff. That's not of God. How many times do you pray to God and you lay your issue at the feet of Jesus, and then when you get up from your prayer, you pick it back up and take it back with you? Do not do that. Bible says, pray about everything. But don't worry. Don't worry about anything. And you know what? When you leave it with God, the peace of God, which is beyond all understanding. How can that guy just be that calm in the midst of this mess? I don't understand it. That's right. I don't. But when God gives you that peace, you just have it. I know I should be shook up, but I'm not. Because why? He guards your heart. He guards your emotions so that you don't panic. So that you still think straight. What a powerful verse. It's times like this that our faith is revealed. I'm going to talk a little bit about Psalm 62. That's the rest of the message. Psalm 62. Not the whole thing, just certain verses out of it. But verses 1 and 2 says, I am at rest in God alone. Are you at rest right now? You ought to be. Okay? If you're one of His, okay, you ought to be at rest. I am at rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. My stronghold. What is your stronghold? Usually in the Bible, when we talk about strongholds, those are negative things. Like somebody's got an addiction, we'll call that a stronghold in their life. But how about God being your stronghold? Now that would be a good thing, wouldn't it? Man, I just can't quit thinking about God. I can't quit thinking about His Word. I just can't quit behaving according to what I know to be true in the Bible. God is my stronghold. Stronghold doesn't have to be a bad thing. It can be a good thing if your stronghold's a good thing. Look at that. I will never be shaken. How long is never? It's like never, right? It's like it never happens. When God is your stronghold, I will never be shaken. That doesn't mean you don't have to consider situations, and sometimes things are emergencies and all that, but you're not going to be shaken. You're going to go forward. You're going to trust Him. So much of our life, we're responders. Something happens and we respond to it. Oh no, someone caught this and now, I was with that person. Am I going to get it now? We respond to that instead of like, if I get it, I get it, and I'll deal with it at that time. But until then, I'm not going to shake. I'm not shaken. I'm not fearful. I'm going to keep doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm going to be careful. I'm going to I'm going to be wise about my behavior. Maybe I need to spend a little more attention, on this area that maybe I don't normally do, because that's part of being wise. But you know what? I'm not shaken. I'm not fearful. I'm not being ruled by my emotions. I'm letting God rule my emotions. I will never be shaken. Look at this. Rest in God alone, my soul, for my hope comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. My stronghold. I will never be shaken. See, it's a repeat. He alone is my... That's verse 2. I didn't mess it up. That's verse 2. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I will never be shaken. Verse 6 is exactly the same. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I will never be shaken. But verse 5, rest in God alone, my soul, for my hope comes from Him. In another version, it says, my expectation comes from Him. You know, what's your expectation coming from? You know, is your expectation on what Washington's going to do, or what your neighbors do, or if the schools close, or, you know, all the stuff, all this response? Is my expectation on that, or is my expectation from God? Another thing of putting it is attachment. The word literally means, the one that's, it's translated expectation in the King James. It's translated hope in the Holman. But the word literally means attached. For my attachment comes from Him. Are you attached to God? I love that. And it actually says my attachment comes from Him. So in other words, your relationship with God is not necessarily bound by just you hanging on to Him. You know, you could actually let go and He'll hold on to you. Because sometimes we just get tired, don't we? Sometimes we get worn down, don't we? Sometimes things do overwhelm us. And sometimes we just may just let go. And you know, a lot of times when you let go, that's when things really start to happen, because then it's all upon God now. He's the one that's holding you. He's the one that's keeping you. He's the one that's still drawing you to Himself. He's the one that's reminding you of His Word. Many of these verses that we've looked at today, you know, He'll remind you of them. Look, I've got this. I am the Lord. I'm the Creator. I have all power. I have all wisdom and all knowledge. Trust in Me. For He alone is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I will never be shaken. And in verse 8, trust in Him at certain times. Well, at least you're reading it. But that's what we do, isn't it? You know, certain times I'm really, you know, I'm right there with God, you know? Yeah. But then there's certain times it's a little harder to trust Him, isn't it? Shouldn't be, but I mean, we've all walked in doubt at one time or another. And we've all walked in fear at one time or another. We've all walked in worry at one time or another. We've done that. The Bible says, trust in Him at all times. All times. You know, what's interesting is a lot of the time when we are trusting Him, it is when we're in adversity. You know, for the Christian, we're like, wow, you know, and our prayer life picks up, and we get really close with God, and He's working, and, you know, we got this situation and whatever, and maybe it's over a period of years even, but, you know, God comes through and all that. But, you know, what's interesting is a lot of times we're not trusting Him in the good times. You know, when things are going wrong, we're right there. But things straighten out, then we start trusting in ourselves again. The Bible says trust in Him at all times. I believe it's actually easier to trust in Him in adversity than it is when everything's working out. Because when everything's working out, honestly, I have a tendency to leave Him out. I have to discipline myself to, you know what, God, I need You just as much when nothing's going on as I do when my whole world is caving in. I need You just as much. And you may say, well, I'm sitting here, I got no problems. Well, you need God just as much as you do when everything's going wrong. It says, trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts before Him. God is our refuge. And then Selah. And what Selah basically means is, it tells you to pause in the middle, because there's more to the psalm. This is the last verse that I'm going to talk about. But it's saying, pause right here and think about what I just said. That's what that word means. When you read the Psalms and you see that word Selah, that means, I heard it translated one way, well, think of that. Well, think of that. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts before Him. God is our refuge. Ponder that for a while. That's what God, He's saying, don't move on to the next verse. Think about what I just told you and how it relates to your situation right now. That's what that's talking about. Times of adversity reveal our faith. How we respond to what's going on in our lives. It's easy to say, I'm a Christian, yeah, I believe in God. Well, when that's tested, where are you at then? Each of us should seek the Lord's will and follow His leading. You know, maybe God doesn't want you to go to the sporting event. You know, I mean, they're shutting down all these things. I mean, maybe He doesn't. Well, that's between you and Him. I don't need a government to tell me that. Okay? We need to seek God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these other things are added to you. You know, we need to seek Him first and follow what He says. Whatever you do, make sure you keep your eyes on the Lord. Be wise, be sensitive to His leading, and above all, trust Him with all your heart. All your heart. Don't hold back. I find it interesting that so many of us, we all have areas in our lives, don't we, that we kind of don't totally trust God with. I mean, we do. We trust Him for our salvation. I mean, when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're saying, you know what? I'm trusting my eternal soul. I am placing my eternal soul and well-being with You, Lord. I'm believing this and I'm just trusting You for it. And what I find is, why is it we can trust Him with our eternity, but we have trouble trusting Him with things right now, the temporary? And many times we do. Well, I know I ought to do that, but I just don't know if I should. Well, the Bible says you should. You know, I don't know if I can forgive that person. Well, the Bible says you need to forgive them. Do you trust Him? Do you trust God that if you do what He says, He's going to bless that? But, well, if I let them off the hook, they'll just take advantage of me. Do you trust God? Or are you trusting what you see? What you think will happen? Do you trust Him? Be wise and sensitive to His leading and trust Him with all your heart. Remember, it's not just about us. Others are watching. Most of us, if not all of us, have people in our lives that don't know the Lord. And they watch us. They know we go to church every week, or we're active, or we have a ministry, or we say certain things about God. And they're aware of that. But then they see us panicking and buying 55 packages of toilet paper and, you know, or wrestling with somebody in the aisle. And what is the toilet paper thing anyway? I mean, what's that got to do with it? I'm boggled by that, you know. I get the wipes that you can't find, and I get the paper towels you can't. But what's with the toilet paper? There's like nothing about this is about the toilet paper. Praise the Lord, you know. But I don't know. It's cracking me up, but in a sense, but it's really kind of sad. Because people are putting faith in what they can stick in their cupboard for their well-being instead of in the mighty God of the universe. You know, but it's not just about us. Others are watching how we respond to these kind of things. Are we calm and measured in our response and doing the right thing, or are we just acting like them? Because when we act like them, the ones that are watching us go, see, no different than me. I don't need their God. They're acting just as crazy as I am. Look at this, Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us. Look on us with favor so that your way, talking to God, your way may be known on earth. You know, when the way we respond to these things illuminates his way on earth to other people. Your salvation among all nations. It's about other people, folks. Adversity comes and it goes. This will pass and there'll be some other one. At another time. You know that as well as I do in your life. Life is nothing but a series of ups and downs, right? For a while things go good and then something happens. And then it seems like forever, but then you come out of it and you're like, wow, things are pretty good. And then, bam, something else happens. I mean, God is growing us constantly. And he uses life to do it. So that people will see where our faith is. And when we don't panic and we don't have fear and we rise above the situation because we're rising with him, that makes impact on people. That has impact on people. So that when people see this, they go, well, why were you not all upset? Well, because I separated myself from the emotion and relied on my God and just tried to do what was right and what was proper and what was appropriate. That speaks to people. That's a testimony. The way we respond tells other people about our faith with our God and whether it's real and whether it's beneficial. That's the bottom line. That's what it's about, folks. Your soul, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, your soul's already, you're sealed. You're good. God's going to use you in whatever situation and adversity you might be in to reach other people, to grow you in the faith, but also to be a light, to be salt for those that don't know him. And we always got to keep that in perspective in any adversity we may have to go through. I'm going to have an invitation. There may be someone here, you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. Your faith can't shine because you haven't placed your faith in the one that you need to have faith in to begin with. Truth is, all of us fall short of the glory of God. And without placing our faith and trust in Jesus, we're doomed. That's just the truth. I'm going to give you an opportunity to actually do something about that. Appropriate action. You know, reasonable and appropriate action to a very dangerous situation. And I'm not talking about the coronavirus. I'm talking about hell. Because when you don't have Jesus, you are in a precarious situation. And you need to take appropriate action. And that action is to believe what God said. He said, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. God said that. Do you believe it? If you've never made peace with God, you're never going to have peace right here. That's just the truth. You'll always be fearful and behave in different ways. For the rest of us, you got a spirit of fear, you know, are a little fearful. Are you going to God first, or is it after you've done everything else? You know, you got a propensity for that. How's your faith? Whether it's got to do with this current national thing or not, what lately has happened in your life that has revealed to you, wow, maybe my faith's not exactly what I thought it was, and I need to take some action. I need to pray about that. I need to get in the Word in that area. And God reveals things to us through the things going on in our life. If we can have every head bowed, every eye closed. Is there anyone here today would say, Brother Mike, I have never accepted Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. I've never placed my faith in Him, and I need to do that. I recognize that. I'd like prayer about that. Anybody like that, just slip your hand up. I want to pray for you. For the rest of us, how many would say, I have to admit, I got a little bit of a spirit of fear about this whole situation, and I've been apprehensive, and God has spoken to me. Amen. God bless you. Amen. I see those hands back there. God bless you. How many would say, I've realized through this that perhaps God has spoken to me, and I need to get closer to Him. I've kind of been doing things in my own ways, and I need to start making Him my stronghold. Anybody like that? I need to grow in that area. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you. How many would just say, you know what? I just need to grow in my faith some more. I realize my faith has been a little weak lately, and I need to get my eyes off myself and off the circumstances and onto God in a greater way. Anybody like that? God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I come to you, Lord, give us grace. Give us strength. Give us reassurance. Give us peace in the midst of what's going on, whether it be now or in the future. Father God, I pray you would do that. I pray that you would, these ones that raise their hand, Lord, I pray that they would move towards you, that they would take maybe some of these verses, Lord, and hide them in their heart, Lord, that they would learn them and recite them. When the enemy brings up their fear, that they would just boldly recite them and stand in strength, stand in your strength, Lord, not their own, and trust in you, Lord, and you alone. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to give you a time to respond, so you guys weren't supposed to stop. So keep your heads bowed, but if anybody wants prayer, you know, the Lord tells us take everything to Him in prayer. In fact, our president said today ought to be a national day of prayer, and that, you know, that's a good thing. And how refreshing it is to have a leader tell us that. So this is your time. Many of you raised your hands. This is your time to deal with what God has sparked within you. Take advantage of it. Father, Lord God, we thank you for your faithfulness. You are the mighty God, Lord. You are sovereign. You are able. You are strong. Lord, may we all rest in you. May you be the sole focus of our faith and our hope. For you are worthy and you are able. Father, thank you for your word, the encouraging words out of your word that carries us through the hard times. Thank you, Lord, for just being there in a very present help in times of trouble, Lord. Thank you for never leaving us or forsaking us. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do in our lives. Help us to be a greater light to those around us all the time, Lord. And we'll give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.